Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code Lombardi. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year. The daily best bets, the betting systems, the betting splits, the premium analysis, 24/7 video access. But most importantly, right now, access to our March Madness betting hub with picks for every game of the tournament. Remember, promo code Lombardi. First year of VSiN Pro access, only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys at the Circa Resort and Casino here in downtown Las Vegas. Femi Abebefe alongside Tim Murray here, and joining us in studio is our buddy Justin Perry from Shop Quality, host of the Justin Perry Show. You guys have been streaming live here from Circa.
Oh, yeah.
You've been hanging out in Vegas. How has Sin City been treating you, man?
Oh, I love it here. There's really no better weekend to be in Las Vegas, watching some college basketball, sweating out a few picks, fading the Mountain West, tailing the Pac-12. It has been a fun one.
Fading the Mountain West.
Utah State, baby. Utah State.
They had to get one, right?
Boys from Logan never let us down. By the way, can I just...
Hang the banner.
By the way, can I just... I had to laugh at the time-honored tradition of March where Impractical Jokers is on... Everybody's screen. You wake up groggy-eyed from a long night of watching college hoops. You're like, what's on my television? Oh, there it is. Oh,
yeah. What's Sal doing? What's he dressed as? Yeah. All right. Why is True TV still on?
Enough slander about my family in the Mountain West. Let's run into these games. You know, we've been kind of going back and forth. I want to start with a game we just wrapped up discussing. Mm-hmm. Neither Femi and I have a bet on this game. It's Gonzaga and Kansas today. So, look, I had Kansas laying 7.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a winner until they completely melted down. And Samford, let's be honest, probably should have had a chance to win that game with a clean block. But regardless, it is Kansas and it's Gonzaga. And we've seen movement today towards the dog. The hooks have all been scooped up. And even in a far-off land, I see a 3.5 out there. So this one just seems a little too good to be true. And I was joking with Femi, Justin, which was, once you kind of start to get infatuated with this year's Gonzaga team, they tend to let you down, WCC championship. So what do you look at? What do your numbers say about Zags and Jayhawks tonight?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it feels like we're getting a really nice line here on Gonzaga. I took it at 4.5 last night. Really, honestly, feels like a little bit too big to get the possession plus for me. This Kansas team is still deep. I know everyone's kind of reacting to the McCullough absence for the entire tournament. But, you know, we talk a little bit about it throughout the entire year. Sometimes when absences are announced, the market can get a little too overzealous. And how much is one player really worth in a college basketball game? It's a heavily debated topic. I don't know if it's 2 or 3 points for anyone, even McCullough. So, you know, maybe Zach Edey can move a line 2 or 3 points for me. And the market might have moved an Edey absence by 4 or 5.
Right.
So I do think a lot of times you can get that edge, especially when it is a good amount of time with the announcement. When you get an instant announcement, sometimes you can beat lines and get in there quickly and get the information before the market. But when everybody has the info, especially right now, you know, I don't want to say the thoughts of the masses, but it kind of is that way, right? We saw it a little bit yesterday morning with FAU getting steamed up to 4.5. And honestly, maybe they should have won. Maybe. I mean, not the greatest last possession there. No. For
neither team wanted to win that
right,
game. It felt like. I mean, Northwestern was giving away. Yeah. I don't know what Davis was doing at the end of that game.
Wanted to be a hero.
And not to get too deep into it, but FAU was the classic case of the betting market, the guys who influenced the market, just being way too stubborn on this Florida Atlantic team. After they beat Arizona, I believe they went 8-16 ATS.
Wow.
I mean, they were a disaster against the spread. And I'll be honest, though, guys, if they had won that game, I would have been intrigued to take the points against UConn. But thankfully, we won't have to get there on that particular play.
Look, I'll tell you right now, I'm taking the points against UConn with Northwestern.
Ooh, there we go.
You're in front of the UConn train.
Yes, sir. I did not with Stetson. I was very proud of that with his easy first half spread. But that's not going to be the same thing. Bubui is, you know, I call it the dude factor. And they're going to have to, you know, deal with him. It's going to be a little bit different. I don't know how many guys in the Big East really have the type of ability that he has to really just take over a game from the guard position, especially who, you know, Baylor Shireman, right, is probably the guy.
Like Kolick, yeah.
Right, Kolick as well. But and he also works with Oso a little differently. But Bubui is such a monster, and I'm really excited to see this. I don't really fear the Klingon factor because they've played Zach Edey. They know how to work around
big men.
They've beaten Zach Edey.
Every year.
They've seen him, and they've seen him and they schemed against him. I don't think the UConn attack is going to have that same amount of effect. And 14.5, all you need is a cover, right? I'm not saying they're going to beat him. I still think UConn right now is the team to win it all. They were at the top of our shot quality value bracket, so they were our like most valuable against the market pick, even with how many people were on them. They're that dominant. So I still think UConn is the team that raises the championship right now, cuts down those nets. But 14 against that Northwestern team that really does have the guard play, can kind of play big and gets to the rack. And they get to the rack. They force the issue. So I do really like Northwestern. And, yeah, I'm taking another dog with Kansas. So we'll see how this goes. It's going
to
be fun.
I do want to get to that because the Gonzaga, they beat McNeese 86-65. We're hanging out with Justin Perry, analyst over at Shot Quality, the Justin Perry Show. What you guys do is like stripping away all the variance, because we know that a basketball game is just a bunch of variance. Who's making three-pointers? Who's not making three-pointers? What are the actual quality shots? And what was the actual authentic score? Right. Was Gonzaga's win over McNeese, was that an authentic performance there? Like, should bettors be looking at that saying, hey, maybe McNeese was just cold for that day and it made Gonzaga look a little bit better than what they actually are heading into this game against Kansas?
Yeah, that's the basis of what Shot Quality is all about, right? Yeah. Being able to go in there and dig into some of the data so that we can understand, all right, who really got hot. And I do believe it was a lot closer. McNeese, a little bit cold there, had the score right around
86-83, you guys had it.
Man, Gonzaga. That's a little different than what the actual score
that's
was.
A little different. And again, that's the power of it. I don't know if you go in there and immediately say, okay, like, you know, Gonzaga's like frauds or something like that. But you have to understand that these final results, they do impact the way that the market sees every single game. You have Gonzaga coming off a 20-point win in a game where, you know, they were a tight favorite as well, four-point favorite. And now it looks like they beat that team that spread by 15. It might lead to some, you know, leans towards giving them those extra points, the juice coming in on them a little bit here, the movement for sure. But if that game was replayed 10,000 times, essentially the way Shot Quality works, we would have projected it to be a lot closer for the Will Wade's team to hit some of those shots. McNeese definitely has the guys to do it. Got a little cold. You could just look at the box score. Their shooting percentages are not what they do for the whole year. And is that a little bit of luck? Yes. Could that give you that extra 1 point, point and a half edge to fade Gonzaga here today? I think so. It's not exactly 1-to-1, but you start adding it in with some other factors, the way this matchup's going to go, the depth of that Kansas team. I do think it's just another reason you want to take the points today.
Well, and that's, I mean, look, betting the NCAA tournament, we all do it. It's a ton of fun, but it could be brutal. It could be absolutely brutal. Sometimes you're on the right side of a team that gets red hot. Look, I bet, you know, Texas A&M yesterday, they couldn't miss. I'm like, all right, sweet. But I also had Morehead State. Mm-hmm. I had Akron and teams that kind of fell apart. But I want to get to Akron because I like pain, I went and looked at the Shot Quality box score after the Akron-Creighton game. And I'm like, what is this going to be? Because Creighton, very good three-point shooting team, but they went 10 of 16 from long range. Yeah. So I went and looked at that Shot Quality score. And then I looked at what Oregon did too, because you had Quisenart go for 40. And I'm like, all right, is that sustainable? So what do you make of this game? Because as of right now, really the position I like the most is Oregon plus the points, and the market has moved that way. You're seeing DraftKings down at 4.5. This opened 7 at DraftKings. So I didn't get the best of the number. Was able to get a 5.5 out there all day yesterday. Still 5s out there. I think still playable at 5. So I'm curious your breakdown of what we saw from Creighton and Oregon in round 1 and how it translates to today.
Yeah, no, I think you're pretty spot on. I grabbed the 5 myself, so I am on Oregon here.
We're all on the Ducks.
Quack, hey, quack,
quack,
baby.
Quack, baby. Bunch of 3 quacks in the studio today, boys. Yeah, but
let's hope not at the end of the day.
Akron, what, 11% on guarded threes in that game against Creighton, right? It was their worst on the season. 2 of 19. That's crazy. Like, they could go out there, they retry that. I guarantee you they're going to at least hit 3, right? You know, that's what ends up happening. 11% is not really a sustainable number, even at the lower end. Creighton shooting, like you said, like 10 of 17, 10 of 16 on those threes.
Yeah, I think it was 10 of 17. I think they took a late three from like one of the walk-ons. Right. But like the starters.
That's their best of the season.
The starters was 10 of 16.
Right. So you're coming off your best three-point shooting performance of the season, and you're Creighton, one of the best shooting teams in the country. There's two ways to take this. Are they good? Is that too hot? Were they a little too, were they overperforming?
Right.
Or is this really like the best team and they're finally here and they're feeling good and they're hot and that performance level is going to sustain over time? It's tough. You have to make that call, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're hot. They're going to stay hot. Oh, they're hot. They're going to cool down. But the advantage that you have is knowing that they are hot and being in that position to make that call rather than being like, oh, that was a normal performance. No. Creighton, again, even on those guarded threes, 7 of 12. So when people were in their face, they really were still candidate. I do like the size of these Pac-12 teams. That's what's really stood out to me. Size feels like a huge deal in this tournament that maybe people aren't talking about the way that they used to in years past. It used to be like a huge deal. Oh, this team's long. This team's tall. Pac-12, long, tall, all of them. James Madison, you watched them on that floor with Wisconsin. The minute that game started, I'm like, oh, it's the same size as this Big Ten team.
Yeah.
And look what happens. It's competitive. If you have the body to throw out Kalkbrenner here today, I think the Ducks are alive.
Yeah. Have you heard of Infali Dante? He's pretty good.
Yeah.
We'll have Justin Perry in studio with us in the next segment as well as we continue to roam through today's games here on the Lombardi Line. There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 that you wager. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now. Use code TLL when you sign up. Remember, code TLL and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now. This is specifically for our VSiN viewers and listeners here. Take advantage of it. What better time than with eight games today, eight games on Sunday, then we'll get rolling on to the Sweet 16 next week. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Befe alongside Tim Murray, Justin Perry of Shot Quality in studio with us for a couple segments. We appreciate you taking the time this AM before all the madness resumes bit later on in about a couple hours from now. But I want to ask you about the game that does start in 2 hours, that starts things off at Salt Lake City, Dayton, and Arizona, the Wildcats. Look a little shaky there for a little bit in the first half, but then they ended up going ahead and pulling away from Long Beach State for a 20-point victory, landing right on the number. They're now laying 9 against the Flyers, total 150. Dayton probably very fortunate to be in this game after their comeback against Nevada here. How do you square this one upside or total?
Oh, man. A little personal bias in this play for me. I am taking the favorite. I'm going with Arizona. I took Dayton. Plus 320, plus 360 live money line when they were down at the half. I should have waited for like plus 700, but it doesn't matter. insane comeback. Who would have thought, right? They were down like 10, 15. I was like, okay, maybe they do this. They did. I think it's really hard to come in and follow that type of performance up where it was not just Dayton actually overperforming, but also a little bit of a collapse. Right? Like there's no way about it. You don't just will your way one-sidedly to a result like that. It is a two-sided thing. I don't think they go in against this Arizona team. -9 feels really nice to me, honestly. I also, there's a really a factor here. Salt Lake City tipping off the day. That's like a 9:30 type tip.
10:45.
Still, right, Mountain. Okay, so here, 9:30. But they're, they're not far from us. And so this is a really early start for these teams. I'm not sure. I'm not going to jump right into, slam and under. But I think this could start like a little messy. And I don't know if that's going to be good for Dayton. This Arizona team, what they're able to do, they're a little scary. And again, feeling that Pac-12, hitting these money lines, hitting these parlays. The first half, I think, might be a little bit close, but I love my second half plays right now. I've been playing second half on a lot of these big, honestly, favorites because you get like a -3.5 in the second half before tip. And then if they're losing or it's tight, they have a really good chance to come out and sort of have that, you know, two halves of the same game type thing. It's really a tale of two halves so often. So I do think this is a spot where Dayton can stay close early, and then I expect Arizona to be the much better basketball team by the time we get to the second half. They'll just flex their muscles. Caleb Love, he's that guy, man. I can't wait to see the inevitable matchup against UNC because I hope that the tournament gods give us that one.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'm curious about is who controls the tempo in this game. Arizona top 20 in tempo, and Dayton's one of the slower teams in the country. And that's where the profile of an upset-minded team is what Dayton is, right? Slow and shoots a ton of threes.
Yes.
And if they can get hot, that's where I think things get interesting. So I have not played this one. I think when you look at just what an upset-minded team is supposed to do, shoot threes at a very high, you know, the variance that we talk about so much.
Yep.
Keep it slow, shoot threes at a high level, and we'll see if Dayton's able to do that. Sticking with the Pac-12, a game that I think you and I, Femi, are intrigued by, and maybe, I go back and forth because, well, first off, I had Drake, and we discussed this last night. Yeah, I have a Drake problem.
Yeah, I know.
You know, two straight years up eight.
Started from the bottom. We're still on the bottom.
Yeah, we're still on the bottom. But let's go to Washington State, Iowa State. All right. So Washington State, very long. Mm-hmm. You know, and you've got this Iowa State team who's elite defensively. Market is betting Washington State. Yep. Sevens have all disappeared. It's down to 6.5. What do you anticipate happening in Omaha later on today around a 6:10 tip time between Wazoo and Iowa State?
Look, I had a nice winner. One of my favorite plays of the season for the tournament was going against Iowa State in the first half. And that had a lot of things to it. I'm pretty sure there was like a coaching tree rivalry there. So there was some gamesmanship.
Well, Otzelberger was the coach at South Dakota State. Then he went to UNLV.
Current coach at South Dakota State was on his staff. Yeah, so that's always some gamesmanship, especially when you're starting the game. You're going to play hard. You know how to scheme against him. But the best man kind of won, right? There was a pull away. I think it's the same thing here. Washington State is going to give him a game in the first half. It's just going to be tough for Iowa State. Their dependency on two-point shots makes them a perfect target for that style of play. But then once you get into their defensive scheme, they will figure out Washington State. It's not an if, it's a when, right? So in that case, you want to be ready to go. Once it starts feeling like the Washington State shots aren't falling, they're not getting that same level of space, and maybe they're not getting down low as much, able to deny the penetration that Washington State is trying to get to their big guys, because they do have that size inside. Like that, you're going to notice it immediately. But I think Iowa State's going to have a real advantage on the guards, and that's the type of thing that really does come around late, right? You have to take care of the ball. You have to develop good shots. You have to find guys when they're open. I think Iowa State's going to start really getting those types of looks in the second half. Washington State maybe blitzes them, maybe hits a few of those threes in the first half to kind of give them the edge. Because, again, when you're not playing the three game, which Iowa State just does not, they choose not
to. Neither one of these teams really shoot the three that well.
Yes, but I think when you look at Washington State, they're going to have a real potential to come out fiery, kind of bring some of that energy, and then it's just going to be a long 40 minutes. I can see them kind of withering away. That's kind of the way I see a lot of these teams coming in today. I like a lot of the favorites. I tweeted out I have like almost every favorite advancing except for Gonzaga today. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to get hurt. I'm so ready. The madness has been nuts. I mean, you sit here and you profess to know ball, and all the people who know ball, their brackets are gone. Auburn, St. Mary's.
Like, my wife let me know last night that she's kicking my butt in our bracket.
There you go.
No, I'm losing. Sure. You know, you see Joe Lenardi's losing to the family dog. You know, like it's tough. It's tough. You make these shots, you take these risks, you give yourself a chance to be at the top, but it also means you can look pretty ugly if it doesn't go your way.
You said that you're ready to get hurt. How about Rick Barnes? Laying 6.5 against his old school Texas there. It's been a while since he's been in Austin, but now on Rocky Top there, the total's at 146. I know a lot of people always kind of circle Tennessee as a fade this time of year. You're going with them, though. You think that this is a pretty good spot for them to go ahead and advance to the Sweet 16?
Yeah, I don't think they have I don't think Texas has the depth, honestly. And I had to eat it. I had to eat some crow. I played some Tennessee in the SEC tournament, and that was ugly. But, you know, I think I kind of went into something that I've talked about a little bit, which is when you have these teams that are so set on the big dance, they tend to not win their conference tournament. It can be a little bit of a balance, right? And like we saw Wisconsin get really deep, and then that run kind of tires them out. I'm reminded of like Iowa years ago, who like won the Big Ten and then left in the second round. Tennessee has that rest advantage a little bit now over some of these other teams. They're feeling maybe their legs are a little bit fresher. They're going to be able to press. And you kind of get the feeling that this is the game. This is the tournament they cared about, not the SEC. And so, yeah, Rick Barnes against his old team. A little fun action like that in Creighton, Oregon today too, right? Dana Altman. It's going to be fun. I do think that we see it's a suffocating effort from that Tennessee defense. It is really good. Dalton Kennett, if he plays anything like he did on Thursday, I don't think it's going to be very close. They would need an all-time shooting performance from midcourt Max. I love the guy. He's awesome. He will show up today. He's going to have to take over. But I think it's just going to fall a little too short. It's going to be close to the end is my prediction. But like free throws, that type of thing. Like, don't worry if you're sweating this one out at 2 points with 3 minutes left. I really think they close the door at the end. Texas takes some bad shots. They tend to do it to themselves when Texas falls apart. So, they're going to need to hit a lot of shots today over this Tennessee defense to really get it done. And I don't see it happening, but
Maybe I get Barnes'd again.
For a 16th straight year, we will have a double-digit seed make the Sweet 16. Yeah. We know that because Oakland is a 14, NC State's an 11. Greg Campy, what a great story. You know, 40-plus years awesome. Of coaching, and we're going to have a clip of him in a little bit breaking down this game. But you look at Golkey and the performance that he had and hitting 10 three-pointers, you guys are the kings of the regression, right? Yes. So 10 of 20 from three. You got NC State, who is – there may be no team hotter than NC State. Five wins in 5 days, and now here they are. So this is a game we haven't hit on yet. What do you expect today in Pittsburgh between Oakland and NC State?
I don't think they're going to let Golkey take 23s. I really think they're going to have –
just watching him.
It's a little – it's different, right? And, I mean, there were reports that they really did catch – Kentucky off guard with the scouting, right? And that's a little embarrassing. But I don't think it happens again. They're going to need to – Oakland's going to need a big Trey Townsend game today. That's my feeling. And maybe from their other big guys too, but he's going to have to go off the way he did against Kent. And, man, we're seeing both those teams that won on buzzer beaters, Yale and Oakland, beat their team – their the favorites in massive upsets after getting super lucky. I mean, that kind of goes against so much of the way I think. Like, oh, this team is here off of, you know, a lucky shot, but – maybe you have to be good enough to give yourself that chance to get there, right? And sure, did Auburn blow it? Did they miss like four free throws and three layups? And that's exactly how Brown looked in the Ivy Championship, and Yale's still dancing? I don't know. You kind of have to trust yourself and say, all right, maybe this is where Oakland falls flat. I tend to think they do. NC State's a wagon. The size, the shooting, they're playing a great ball. And I don't know if we get another all-time performance from Oakland, but I'll be here eating my popcorn either way.
Check out Justin Perry's work over at Shot Quality. Thanks for joining us in the studio, buddy.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll be back on the other side. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Tim Murray helping break down this Saturday second round day in the NCAA tournament. We have reached the round of 32. A lot of fun games that we have on deck. And to help us break things down even further, we're bringing in our buddy Wes Reynolds. You can check him out Monday through Friday on VSiN tonight, 11 to 2 a.m. Eastern time, 8 to 11 Pacific time. Wes, hope all is well. Hope the tournament has been treating you well. We'll start off with the game over in Charlotte where the number one seed North Carolina Tar Heels are hosting, I don't know if you heard about this one, Wes, January, February, Izzo, Michigan State catching four, total 141.5. Will it be a Sparty party later on this afternoon in Charlotte?
Well, I hope we get March Izzo once again like we did on Thursday. And these are two teams that like to, you know, run off the secondary break, but they're both very good transition defenses. So I haven't decided what I'm doing with the total yet. A little bit of lean to the under here, but look, I like what I saw out of Michigan State on Thursday because I didn't have the confidence or the conviction to bet either side there because I didn't know what we were going to get on Michigan State. But what we got was some pretty good shot making from Jaden Akins and also Tyson Walker, and got really good defense. And I know it was Mississippi State's offense, but it was also Michigan State's defense. And look, with North Carolina, I know they covered against Wagner and kind of toyed with them, but I had North Carolina as the weakest of the four number one seeds coming into this tournament. Nothing that I saw on Thursday changed my mind there. So, look, this is only a 4-point spread, and it's actually now 3.5 at a couple spots. But I wasn't impressed with North Carolina in the ACC tournament. I really wasn't impressed on Thursday. And, look, Michigan State may be kind of coming together at the right time. So you're going to have to execute in the half court here. And if that's a half court game, I favor Sparty.
So the first game of the day, early wake-up call in Salt Lake City, 10:45 local time there in Salt Lake, 12:45 Eastern. And as we are sitting here, Circa just went to 8 on this game. DraftKings is 8.5. Still some 9s out there. There's some differing opinions out there. Justin Perry, who joined us in studio, liked the favorite. I like the dog a little bit. I haven't gotten to the window. Maybe you could push me over the top here because the profile of Dayton, in my opinion, Wes, a slow team that shoots threes well, that is your profile that you want for an upset-minded team. How do you look at Dayton and Arizona about to get underway here in a little bit?
Yeah, I look at it the same way, Tim, and I like the Flyers here because they deny in transition. And what does Arizona do best is getting a transition offensively. But Dayton really denies you. Dayton's got a good big guy in Daron Holmes who, you know, is going to be a very good defender down there, even though they kind of put him in that little drop coverage. in the half court. But look, Dayton reminds me a little bit last year, kind of what Arizona saw in the first round against Princeton, like you mentioned, where slow it down a little bit, run half court, shoot threes. And I think that this is a tough matchup, actually, for Arizona. Tommy Lloyd, by the way, is 0-5 so far against the number in NCAA tournament games. I think he maybe make it 0-6 here. I thought this number was high, and the market clearly agrees right now.
Yeah, it's so funny, the NCAA tournament. Dayton, here they are. Miracle comeback against Nevada, and now they might be live against Arizona right now. We're hanging out with Wes Reynolds, host of VSiN tonight. Check it out Monday through Friday, 11 to 2 a.m. Eastern time. Well, Wes, let's stay in Salt Lake City. The game after Dayton, Arizona, is Gonzaga and Kansas. Gonzaga looked awesome against McNeese. Kansas barely survived against Samford. So the Bulldogs, of course, now laying 4 against a shorthanded Jayhawk squad. Total 152. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, this is more of a number play, and I took 4.5 with Kansas, and this is a Kansas look. I kind of thought after they, you know, squeak by Samford, I'm like, okay, the end of the line comes in the next round. Gonzaga certainly exceeded market expectations. They were only 6-point favorite against McNeese, Dayton. You know, it was never even a sweat. It was a no-doubter from the get-go, and we know Kansas is really shorthanded, but both these guys, actually, both the post defenders, one on Kansas side, Hunter Dickinson, and then Graham Ike on the Gonzaga side, have actually been very good this year. Surprisingly enough for Dickinson, who kind of has a reputation as not being a good defender. But look, this Gonzaga team, and you mentioned it, Femi, like it's kind of how funny perception changes overnight. Kind of like, you know, Dayton gets their scare against Nevada and has to come all the way back to win. It's kind of the same thing with Gonzaga. About 3 weeks ago, before they beat Kentucky, we were like, this team's not making the tournament. They don't have any good wins. You know, this team is not that good. They didn't get Steele Venters healthy this year, the transfer from Eastern Washington. So they're not really a great shooting team. But I just thought that this number was a little bit high. I do think Gonzaga is down from their normal standards. So it was more of a number play, not necessarily a long-term belief in Kansas, but I thought this number came high based on the performances we saw on Thursday.
Wes Reynolds joining us here on the Lombardi Line. And you can, of course, catch Wes every weeknight with Matt Eumanns on VSiN tonight. He joins us on a progressive guest line. Let's get to the story of the tournament so far. Jack Golke, his 10 three-pointers. He has attempted 8 two-point field goals the entire season. And I believe the number's up to 347 three-pointers attempted. We just played a clip, Wes, of Greg Campy, the head coach of Oakland, from yesterday talking to the media and saying, we're going to want to run on this NC State team because we think they will be tired playing their 7th game in 11 days. The market has now started to move towards the Golden Grizzlies. The hooks are starting to disappear, pretty much 6 across the market. Do you agree with the market move here with Oakland taking some money?
I do, and I took 6.5 with the Golden Grizzlies for what you just said. 7 games in 11 days. This is a one-day prep for that zone that Oakland runs. Only Merrimack of the 362 Division I teams ran more zone than Oakland this year. So NC State should know really essentially what they're in for. I don't know how much they're going to run necessarily because, you know, what we saw, a high-scoring game on Thursday, we kind of have the perception that, oh, Oakland's this, you know, up-tempo team. They're really not, if you look at it. They've slowed down some teams in the Horizon League that like to, you know, get up-tempo and whatnot. So, I wonder about NC State, how much energy that they are going to have. And one thing to keep in mind with Oakland is because they zone, they don't foul a lot. If you recall on Thursday, Townsend, their big guy down low, I know Jack Golke, you know, got all the ink and rightfully so, 10 of 20 from three, but Oakland doesn't foul a lot. So they don't send you to the line. I think NC State is going to be the team that's going to be fouling, that is going to be gambling a little bit on defense and being a little tired. I just think that this is a tricky prep for Kevin Keats and NC State. So I like the Golden Grizzlies.
DJ Burns, we'll see if he can be able to help out NC State, but if Oakland's hitting those shots like we saw last Thursday, good luck against the Golden Grizzlies here. Wes, a game that we haven't really discussed much here today is Duquesne and Illinois. The Illini laying 10 against the Dukes, total 147. It looked a little shaky for Illinois in the first half against Morehead State, then they pull away in the second half here. Do you like them here in this spot against Duquesne?
I do. I think that this is the end of the line for Keith Dambrot. He kind of had a funny line. He's like, I'm trying to retire, and they won't let me retire. ironically enough, Greg Campy and Keith Dambrod both had the most wins in active college basketball without getting an NCAA tournament win. Wow. And they both get it the same day on Thursday. So look, you know, the favorites, despite the fact that we think that the dogs are barking, the double digit favorites, 11-3 so far in the NCAA tournament, make it 12-3 here. I just think Illinois, you know, they're kind of sloppy in the first half against Morehead State. And then in the second half, they just absolutely took them apart. And, you know, Duquesne, I know they're going to want to try to slow down the game. And they were able to kind of do that against BYU. But BYU didn't have guys that can really, I mean, they're a motion offense. So they didn't have guys that can create their own shots. Illinois has two, TJ Shannon and Marcus Domask. And I just think that that's going to be tough for Duquesne here. Danger was really the guy that won the game. Danger, get on the floor.
Mystical.
I was like, did we just get a mystical quote from Wes Reynolds? That's what I'm talking about.
Not even 9 a.m.
Didn't have that on my bingo card.
Yeah, he was the guy that blew up the screens on Thursday, and really, I thought in the second half, led that Illinois run. So, look, Duquesne's been a great story, but I think Illinois pulls away here in the second half, much like they did on Thursday, like the Illini.
Hey, Wes, before we let you run, we got about a minute. The two 12 seeds that will be playing tomorrow, Grand Canyon catching 6 and James Madison catching 7.5. Early lean, you like either one of those dogs?
Haven't played either one yet. Would lean a little bit with the Dukes, though.
Yeah.
I thought we're actually going to get beat in the first round by Wisconsin, and Wisconsin looked awful. And a lot of that was James Madison, not just the bad Wisconsin shooting. So I like JMU, 7.5. That seems like a pretty big number for a very well-coached team. Mark Byington is probably going to get some run for some big jobs here over the next couple weeks on the carousel. So nothing yet for GCU Alabama, but initial lean to James Madison.
Yeah, I mean, Duke, I'm not even sure if they looked that great yesterday, or it was more so Vermont just going cold from the field in that game, but they were able to go ahead and win and cover. He is Wes Reynolds, joined us on the Progressive Guest Line. Make sure you check him out on VSiN tonight, weeknights, 11 to 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Wes, good luck with the bets, man. Thanks for coming on.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
Awesome stuff there from Wes Reynolds. He also likes Oregon, so put that another one in the Ducks column.
Quack, quack.
Quack, quack.
Come on.
Let's
quack
hope so.
Our way to a victory.
Matt Youmans joins us next here on the Lombardi Line. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code Lombardi. You'll get VSiN Pro access to everything we do throughout the entire year. The daily best bets, the betting splits, the betting system, the premium analysis, 24/7 video access. But most importantly, this time of year, access to our March Madness betting hub with picks for every game of the tournament. Just use promo code Lombardi to get your first year for only $199 for VSiN Pro access. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. He's Tim Murray. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. And joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line, it's our buddy Matt Youmans, host of VSiN tonight, 11 to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, weeknights here on VSiN. Matt, hope all is well. Hope the tournament's been treating you well. Let's start off with Gonzaga in Kansas here. You have a play in this game. The Bulldogs down to 3.5-point favorites in some spots. So more money pouring in on the Jayhawks here as we get closer to tip-off. Total 152. What do you like in this one?
Well, the tournament treated me like crap on Thursday and then bounced back a little bit on Friday. So in a little bit better. I know Tim Murray's in a much better mood because, boy, he was disgruntled on Thursday, just like I was.
Nah, Matt, I didn't text you.
I saw his record on the VSiN Pro page for Friday, and I'm sure he's got a big smile today. So much happier, Tim Murray. I'm going to say this about I don't understand why these games in Salt Lake City are starting so early.
Same.
You know, on the West Coast, you get a game starting at, what, 10:45 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:45 Pacific? Imagine if you had tickets to that game. You'd be a little bit upset as you got to show up in the morning and you're listening to Femi and Tim on your drive to the arena. That's way too early of a start. I did play Gonzaga. I was actually trying to get the bet in about 4 this morning, and for some reason the app wouldn't let me get it in. It kept saying incorrect action. So I said, okay, I'll put it in when I wake up in the morning. And the line actually dropped -175. So from 190 to 175. I played the Zags here. I'm not crazy about laying this number of 4.5. But I do expect the Zags to advance. And when you watch the game Thursday night, Bill Self, that was a high-stress game where Kansas had a 22-point lead. He got cut to one. And they got lucky on a bogus foul call late, or might have got beat by Samford. But Bill Self had to play four starters for 35 or more minutes in that game. He doesn't have much of a bench anyway. And I think fatigue is going to be a factor for Kansas. And it's just a shorthanded team without Kevin McCuller, who I consider to be the MVP of that team. You know, if you're relying on Nick Timberlake and DeJuan Harris and KJ Adams and guys like that to win you a tournament game against Gonzaga, I think you're in a little bit of trouble. And also with the Zags, you got Graham Ike, a horse in the low post who can go to work on Hunter Dickinson down there, and a guy who can kind of match up with Dickinson, who's Kansas's best player at this point. So Mark Few, man, I think this is amazing. It's not talked about much. He's been to 8 straight Sweet 16s.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you make it 9 after today. But again, I played the Zags minus 175 and didn't lay the points. This is a Kansas team that's been blown out a couple times late in the year. We've seen some quit in this Kansas team. 29-point loss at Texas Tech, 30-point loss at Houston. I do like the Zags today.
Yeah, and they need to be tested more, that Gonzaga team. You know, they're just not tested enough. Just the most consistent team maybe in the entire country when it comes to the NCAA tournament. Matt Heumann's joining us here on our Progressive Guest Line. All right, let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. We've got Michigan State and North Carolina. That line around 4 in favor of the 1 seed, North Carolina. And then Texas and Tennessee, that line, you know, sitting around 6.5 with the Vols. If you put those two together, you can get plus money on a money line parlay, which is the angle you're going. You expect Tennessee and UNC both to take care of business today.
Yeah, it's a little bit risky. I mean, I put this in overnight too, and I put the money line parlay played plus 120, and that was on the money lines that I got at the Westgate Superbook. So I went ahead and fired on that. Again, as you know, I don't like to bet a lot of favorites, and definitely don't like to play points in this tournament. And I decided to play it that way. Now, this Michigan State-North Carolina line is so low, it's suspicious to me. I mean, there were 3.5s hanging out there last night. It's funny because before the first round, it seemed like not many people wanted to bet on Michigan State. And I heard people scoffing at the, Tom Izzo in March. Well, this team's not the same. It's not the same Michigan State team. And then the Spartans win a game, and now all of a sudden they're only 3.5, 4-point dogs to North Carolina and Charlotte. This is a Carolina team that does fit that national championship formula, too. It's top 20 in offensive and defensive efficiency, right around there, top 25. R.J. Davis is the type of scoring guard who can carry a team a long way in the tournament. I've got Carolina winning my bracket. I've certainly got Carolina winning this game, but this line's so low, it makes me think the Michigan State's the right side. Maybe it's an odds maker. I respect the odds maker in the betting market. And I know that Tom Izzo is going to find a way to muck this game up and probably slow Carolina down. And it's probably going to be down to the wire type of game. But I believe Carolina is going to prevail. They've got more ways to get easy baskets. Michigan State's got to work too hard to score. And Carolina's got more ways to get easy buckets. So I like Carolina to prevail. And it's tough to trust Rick Barnes laying that type of number, basically to win by 3 possessions against a Texas team that really did not play all that well against Colorado State. If you look at the box score, Texas shot 1 for 14 from 3 and had, I believe, 3 assists in that game against Colorado State and still won by 12. So it's not like the Longhorns were all that impressive in the first round. And with Dalton Kanak being a guy that the balls can go to on the offensive end, I do trust the Tennessee team a little bit more. So money line parlay there for me with Carolina and Tennessee.
You know, it's so funny. Michigan State and North Carolina is just incredibly fascinating. I think before the season started, maybe people thought that this might be a Final Four game, and here we see it in the second round here with Michigan State kind of underachieving in the regular season. But as everyone has said, March is the month of Izzo. Let's get over to Oakland and NC State. A couple of double-digit seeds. One of them is going to make the Sweet 16. NC State right now laying 6. Seventh game in 11 days is what Coach Campy's been talking about here. Totals 146.5. Do you think that the Wolfpack will be a little bit too tired in this spot against the Golden Grizzlies?
Well, there are a lot of different angles to look at here, but the two I'm going to focus on is I think it's tough to face a quick turnaround like NC State is when you're facing a zone defense. And Greg Campy's zone, obviously, Kentucky was totally unprepared for it. It was comical how bad Kentucky was on the offensive and defensive ends. It would have been a lot more would have been a lot funnier if I didn't have a lot of Kentucky futures money, so I wasn't really laughing at after the game. But when you break down the tape and look at how ill-prepared Kentucky was on both ends of the floor, it's a joke. And I got to think that, you know, most of these teams don't face many zone defenses throughout the season, so you don't really have a zone offense that you can just say, hey, we're gonna run zone, and all the players are going to run it with rhythm. It's going to go smoothly. That's not the case. And I think it's tough for a quick turnaround to prepare for a zone D, and NC State's going to have some issues there. You know, you can talk about the new star, Jack Golkey, and his 10 threes and say, well, there's probably going to be some shooting regression from three, and I think you certainly can expect that. But he's not a one-man show. They got Trey Townsend. They got DQ Cole. They got some other guys who can shoot it, too. This Oakland team is capable. And also, NC State's been doing all this. You talked about 7 games in 11 or 12 days, whatever it is. Most of that work has been done as an underdog. And now all of a sudden you're going to flip NC State to a significant favorite. There's enough there. Usually the Cinderella dies in the second round. But I went ahead and took a shot here with Oakland plus 6.5.
Matt Youmans joining us here on the Lombardi Line. It's funny you mentioned that, Matt, because if you go back and you look at all the games that they played, I don't know the spread of the Syracuse game that they ultimately won off the top of my head, but really the only game they weren't a dog was was that Louisville game to start the ACC tournament. All right, before we let you run a game tomorrow, I always joke on the on the college football betting podcast that we do, that you've got a great read on your alma mater with Purdue when it comes to the football side of things. What about the hoop side of things? Purdue looks the part yesterday. Now they're laying 11.5 against Utah State tomorrow.
Well, Purdue looked the part against a Grambling team that was just outmanned. You know, let's be honest about it. Utah State has they got a couple big guys who can actually hold up against Zach Edey in the low post. They shoot it pretty well, you know, from three and from the free throw line. And Danny Sprinkle's he's a rising star as a coach. And I think the Aggies last night were really, really impressive. And for all the people who were trashing the Mountain West, and rightly so up until that game last night, that was a big win for the Mountain West to have Utah State take out TCU so convincingly last night. I think with house money, Purdue's got, you know, playing with a lot of pressure because you got a lot of expectations. When these games get close, those guys can get a little bit tight. Mm-hmm. I thought the number's a little bit too high here. I was going to make it around 8.5 or 9. I took 11 with Utah State. I'm going to take a look at Clemson and Yale as a couple of dogs on Sunday.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Matt. Good luck with the bets, man.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back on the other side.